The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come that there will not be left. The stone upon stone will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" Jesus answered, "See that you are not deceived by those who will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' or 'tis time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nations will rise up against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there will be powerful earthquakes and famines and plagues from place to place. And awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before this all happens, however, they will seize and persecute you, and they will hand you over to the synagogues and to the prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name, and will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself will give you the wisdom in speaking, that all your adversaries will be powerless to refuse or refute. You will be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed by your perseverance, and you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do not follow false gods. Do not be terrified of natural disasters, wars, and other terrible things. Do not be on the side of the world. Be with Jesus Christ. In every age, dynasty, kingdom, empire, country, in all the world's history, we always find ourselves in this moment of fear. Is this the end of the world? Is this the end of our country? Is this the end of my life? What do I believe? What do I do? In 1939, when Poland was invaded by the Nazi Party, in a short period of time during that experience, invasion, and time in history, in a short period, one-third of the priests and clergy of Poland were killed. And faith education and faith of any kind was outlawed. The country and church were in peril. Now, in every age and time, when people come up against tyranny of this kind, when that is rising, alongside that, people also rise up to fight this. Although it's often in secret, they rise up to fight against tyranny. And one of those persons in Poland at the time was a man named Jan Tarnowski. Maybe you've heard of him. If you haven't, he was a close friend to a particular saint of the church. I'll mention him in a second. But Jan Tiernowski was a man who loved his Catholic faith, loved his country, and so he began a mission, a secret mission, really. He would go to places around the country, from town to town, and he invited people to continue to pray, to be educated, and to remember their Polish history. And in his own town, he began a small group called the Living Rosary Group. And what he would do is he would invite 15 to 20 young people, often young men, to come and pray with him, and he would instruct them in the faith, and he would teach them about the rosary, and he would give them spiritual life instruction, and he would help them to be grounded in their faith and stay close to Jesus and the church. They would pray the rosary every day. In particular, they would pray at least a decade of the rosary that they were assigned every day, so that the group together every single day were praying one rosary. During this time, and from that group over the course of time, 10 young men went on to study to be priests. One of those being Karol Wojtyła, who became Saint John Paul II. So he was influenced by this one person. They had to, of course, those men had to go to underground seminaries for their instruction. They had to keep everything in secret. See, this was a time of great fear, but also the faith flourished during this time because of people like Jan Tiernowski, the Living Rosary Group, and those who remained close to God and the church. Faith in Jesus remained true. Don't be on the side of the world. Be with Jesus Christ. When Jesus gives us, what Jesus gives us is not what the world gives us. From the Lord we receive eternal life, strong faith, unbreakable trust. Jesus is not here to offer us an easy way. He never said that in any place in the Gospels. Here's the easy way to heaven. No, he said, the narrow gate is the way. The cross is the way. The life of a true disciple is the way. Why am I a priest? I've been asked that more than once in my life. Although usually people ask, how did I know God was calling me to the priesthood? Or sometimes they ask about how I discerned the priesthood, how I prayed about it and decided to do it. I get asked about my favorite part of being a priest, but only a few people have ever asked the question, why would you choose the priesthood? Why in the world would anybody do that? There are so many better things to be than a priest, right? Maybe so. Maybe that's true to many in the world today. There are so many better things to do. Why would you choose that kind of life? For me, I just had a sense in my prayer, in noticing what the Holy Spirit was showing me, I had a sense that I was called to offer my life in this particular way. Every vocation in the church is an offering of our life. In the vocation to marriage, for example, it always is interesting to me. I often ask the question, if you do not desire to serve your spouse out of reverence for Christ, what's the alternative? Just serving yourself. It makes no sense within the sacrament of marriage. The main purpose of that sacrament is to help your spouse get to heaven. And we try to work that out every day. but also in the religious life. How do we help not just one, but many get to heaven as a priest or as a religious? In religious life, then, God has to expand our ability to love. So think about the priestly and religious life. Think about, for example, the life of someone like St. Teresa of Calcutta or Blessed Stanley Rother. God asked them to love in a very different way. St. Teresa of Calcutta, she was willing, more than willing, to go out on the streets every day and bring people who are dying, who were lost, who had literally no one in their life. And she would bring them in and she would see Jesus in every single one of them. Or Blessed Stanley Rother, who wanted to go back to Guatemala even though he knew there was certain danger, that he would die. But he said, I will go, I won't run, and he gave his life for the faith. God asked them to love in a different way, a way that leads to the cross. How could they do what they did? How were they able to make that kind of offering of their life? Only by the power that comes from God. Only by what God gave them in the expansion of their hearts and their love and their desire to live that way. For me, Jesus was clearly calling me to offer myself to the priesthood. Because I can tell you, I desired to be a husband and father. And when I went to Jesus in prayer and said, this is what I want to do, Jesus said, okay, but you will love in a spousal way. So he said to me, Jesus said, your love will be spousal, your love will be fatherly, your love will include every family, every child, every spouse, every person who is sick, lost, full of pride, full of joy, who needs direction, who needs instruction, and who needs mercy. Everyone who needs Jesus. That would be my life. Jesus called me to be an instrument of divine grace as a priest. I'm a conduit of divine love. Right now, any young man or woman in this church who has even the slightest bit of desire or consideration of being a priest or religious, I'm going to tell you what I heard from St. John Paul II when I was in college as a senior. He said, don't delay your response, be courageous, say yes. Don't delay your response. Be courageous and say yes. This is the call of every person in every vocation. Whatever you're called to do in life, whatever you're called to do every single day, be courageous. Say yes. Don't delay following Jesus. Because this life is so much more than video games and TikTok videos, and electric cars, or whatever else we choose to worship in this life. Jesus wants to be the true object of worship. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is saying, become the saint I'm calling you to be. We need to pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life now more than ever. In dioceses around the country, parish churches are closing at a rapid pace. It's not so much here in Oklahoma, but if you go to the East Coast, you would see that many dioceses there have shrunken their number of parishes down to half of what they had. They've merged parishes and closed parishes. And there's two reasons typically why that happens. One is people are leaving the Catholic faith in droves. Every day, people from all ages are stopping practicing their faith. They're not going to church. They're leaving the faith. Whatever it may be, they become spiritual and not religious, whatever that means. But they just simply say, for whatever reason, I'm not going back to church. So that's one reason. So parishes are losing numbers. And if a parish empties out and we don't have numbers, you can't stay open. You can't pay for what you have to have. So that's one of them. The other part is we don't have enough priests. If we don't have enough priests, we can't have Mass and we can't have the sacraments. We haven't had to close many churches in Oklahoma, thank goodness. A few smaller mission churches, but I can tell you that it will happen. It will happen here as well. We will face this reality. So what do we do? Do we panic? No, good. Truth comes from the mouth of children. We don't panic. Do we just change things? Do we just change church practice and church teachings? No. Good. What do we do? Well, we don't lose hope. That's one thing. We're full of hope. We remain full of gratitude to God for all his blessings. We pray in earnest. We go out and call people to faith. People need to know about Jesus. And so we need a new ardor in proclaiming and calling people to know and love Jesus. We need people to go out as true disciples. We are on the side of Jesus Christ. So we do not follow false gods. Do not be terrified of natural disasters, wars, or other terrible things. Do not be on the side of the world. Be with Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.